So when you wake up and you walk over to your mirror, what's your initial reaction? Oh my gosh, I look amazing. Look how good I look. Oh, today's gonna be fantastic. I get to go hang out with amazing people just like me. Or maybe that's not you. I mean, maybe that's not you. Maybe it's, oh dang, I look rough. I look terrible. Gosh, is that gray hairs? Oh my, what is happening? Man, today's gonna be terrible. I'm gonna have a horrible day. Everything I do is horrible. The people I'm gonna be around, I work with stupid people at this stupid job. It's gonna be a terrible day. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little, I hope. But for some of us, when you wake up, what do you think of when you look at your reflection? Who do you see? Because that narrative doesn't just affect your morning, it affects your day. But really, what you tell yourself and what you think about yourself, well, that affects your whole life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today as we start a brand new series called Reflection. And what we're going to be talking about in this series is, who do you see in that? Who do you see? What do you think about when you see that reflection? Because that narrative, that constant self-talk, that idea of how you feel about yourself determines, I mean, everything. Do you like yourself? Do you like who you're becoming? Do you feel confident in who you are? So basically, the question I want to answer through this series is, what do you think about when you think about you? How do you feel about you? What do you say about yourself? How do you respond to yourself? The other day, I was having a typical interaction with one of my kids, but then they said something that surprised me and made me stop in my tracks. So here's how the interaction went. Hey, how's it going? Did you get a chance to do everything I asked for you to do? Typical conversation, but then their response is what stopped me. They looked at me and go, ugh, I forgot. I'm so sorry. Gosh, I'm such an idiot. I am so stupid. I go, whoa, don't say that about yourself. And something we tell our kids all the time is, you're not a mistake. You just made a mistake. And so this got me riled up. I was like, no, don't say that about yourself. But how many times do we do that? Maybe not out loud, maybe subconsciously, maybe in our mind when something goes wrong. Like, for example, what is your initial reaction? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you see this? I am blank. How would you fill in the blank? I am fat. I'm skinny. I'm loud. I'm soft. I'm beautiful. I'm ugly. I'm strong. I'm weak. I'm stupid. No, I'm smart. Or maybe you go, I'm messed up, or I'm insignificant. What's your initial reaction? Pay attention to that when I just put that up. How do you talk about yourself? Because I don't know if you're like me, but it's very little positive. Most of the time, I am my own worst enemy. And my negative self-talk just keeps going and going and never ends. And for some of us, maybe we say things like on the surface, but for some of us, we don't feel that way. We actually feel a little bit heavier than that. In fact, for some of us, there's some things we see when we look at our reflection. There's some things we see and we feel. Maybe it's you feel shameful. Maybe you feel broken. Maybe when you look at your reflection, you feel alone. Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe you feel like a mistake. Maybe you feel unloved, or maybe you feel unworthy. And we wouldn't say these words per se, but maybe that's how we feel. And subconsciously, if we were to dig down deep, those things, when we look at ourselves in this mirror, that's who we see back. That's who's reflecting back. Because what do? We focus on all our imperfections and we focus on everything wrong with us, right? And it doesn't just happen in the morning. This happens constantly throughout the day. Maybe when something goes wrong or you forget something, like you forgot that email to send that email, you forgot about that meeting. Maybe you forgot about that test. Maybe you forgot a child at school. And then you end up just beating yourself up over and over, and your thoughts become your narrative. Because here's the thing. If you don't address this and you keep thinking those same thoughts, they become beliefs. And when they become beliefs, well then, it becomes the lens you live your life through. And that is a dangerous place to be. Dr. Vilhauer, in her article in Psychology Today, explains it this way. She says, beliefs create a cognitive lens through which you interpret the events of your world. And this lens serves as a selective filter through which you sift the environment for evidence that matches up with what you believe to be true. So basically what she's saying is you're going to act in accordance with what you believe. What you say to yourself becomes your truth. And when that happens, I mean, it's the definition of creating your own reality. And then you live in the vicious cycle of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You start saying things and you go, see, I knew that would happen. And you look for it, right? You look for, you essentially, you always find what you're looking for. Which reminds me of the quote from Henry Ford, whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. Think about that. That's the way we live. Now, this is not just a for those who are followers of Jesus. This is a human thing. Everyone is included in this because we all talk to ourselves constantly. And if we don't pay attention to it, this endless stream of unspoken thoughts, regardless of they're positive or negative, will lead you to a place that you don't want to go. Because here's the thing, your self-talk will profoundly shape your life. And there's been many studies done about this. But I want to give you four specific things these studies talk about that of how your self-talk impacts your life. Here's what it is. First, the first thing of how self-talk shapes your life is your choices. Based on what you say to yourself, it's going to affect the choices in your life. If you feel, or if you tell yourself, I'm capable and worthy, well, then you're going to be more likely to take risks, to pursue goals, and to step into opportunities. But if you doubt yourself, if your view of yourself is negative, well, you're going to avoid those same challenges. You're going to talk yourself out of dreams and you're not going to take those risks. You're not going to play it small. The next place besides choices is relationships. This is so important. If you see yourself as someone who is lovable and valuable, well, then you're going to set healthy boundaries and choose people into your life who are going to be supportive. But if you see yourself as unworthy, well, then you're going to give your body to whoever and you're going to tolerate mistreatment. And you're going to struggle with insecurity and jealousy. So that's for relationships. The third area is resilience. This is a big one. It's this mindset that if you don't have these limiting beliefs, if you truly believe in yourself, it will fuel perseverance. And you could say things like, I can get through this. I can do this. Whereas a limiting belief, it causes you to avoid risks, causes you to settle and to give up easily. Right? It's the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. A fixed mindset says, I can't. A growth mindset says, yeah, I can. I can do that. That's the difference. Now, the last category is probably one of the most important ones, health. And this is both mental and physical health. You see, an optimistic outlook, it's strongly linked to better stress management. And we all know how that goes. When it's better stress management, it leads to lower rates of depression, improved cardiovascular health, and an increased lifespan because you're more confident in yourself. You've got more joy. You've got more peace. But a negative outlook, man, it leads to increased anxiety, lower self-esteem, and of course, greater likelihood of developing unhealthy coping mechanisms, which lead to self-sabotaging behaviors. And this is important for all of us, but grads, I want you to get this as you step into this next season of life. You have to understand this because you're about to be on your own and things are about to be totally different and your self-talk will determine the rest of your life. I want you to get this, but I really want all of us to understand this because this is something we all struggle with. And this is where therapy can help. I'm a big proponent of therapy, but in therapy, they'll help you figure out where this all came from. Did it come from current circumstances or maybe your past? Like, childhood trauma, your upbringing, or things that happened to you that cause you to think this way. But for our purposes today, I believe there's one specific thing you can do to help you with this. And it's actually not what you think, because the way you're thinking is incorrect. And if you keep going down this path, it's going to lead you the path you don't want to go to self-sabotaging behaviors. But instead, it's what someone says about you, not what you say about you. And I believe if we would focus on what our Heavenly Father says about us, that's going to change everything for you. That's going to change the way you talk to yourself. That's going to way you look at yourself. But here's the thing. It all is based on how you feel God feels about you. It's basically, this is the question I'm asking. What do you think God thinks when he thinks about you? Like immediately, what's your immediate reaction? How do you think God feels about you? What does he say about you? Does he say you're a disappointment? Do you think he says when he looks at you that he's angry with you? He's frustrated with you? Do you think he's saying you are hopeless and you are unworthy? If that's what's in your head when God thinks about you, well, then you're just going to keep chasing his affirmation instead of living from it. And when that happens, you're never going to be satisfied because you can never measure up to God's standard. Here's the good news. None of those things I just said are true. He doesn't say any of those things about you. So for the rest of our time together, I want to show you through his word what he says about you so you can change the narrative in your life, so you can have more peace, you can be more confident, especially when it comes to your own self-talk. And to do that, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of creation when he made humanity. So the earth, there was nothing formed yet, and God puts the earth here, and he creates land, and he separates land from water. And he goes through creation creating all these things. The stars in the sky, he separates darkness from light. He creates fish in the sea, birds in the sky, animals on the land, foliage, flowers, everything. But then right before he rests, he gets to his crowning achievement, us, mankind. And he pauses, and it's not just like, well, he created them. No, he created them for a specific purpose in a specific way. Here's what we're told. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. That's not just humans back then. That's everybody since then. That includes you and me. We are all made, it's told us in another area, God's likeness. We are made to be like God. We are made in his image. And this was the only thing he put his image on. He put his imprint on. He put who he needs to be in us and on us so that when we look in the mirror, it's him, not us. But here's the thing. For many of us, we don't realize that. We don't realize that, but let me give you some more thoughts around that. After he finished creating the animals and everything living, we're the only ones he gave us to exercise reason, to have intelligence, speech, moral consciousness. We're the only ones who are able to be creative, have rationality, and to make choices. We have been set apart from the rest of the creation because we are made in the image of God. And that shows how much value we have. That we have more value than anything else on this planet. And being made in the image of God gives every human being the value and dignity they deserve, regardless of ethnicity, of productivity, of capacity, of viability. Everyone is at the same playing field. Everyone is made in the image of God, even your HOA president, okay? Like every single person, that was a rough one. Every single person is made in the image of God. Everyone has the same value. This goes from the baby in the womb to the elderly. And because his print is on us, this is why I believe we all have a sense of morality and we're all born with an innate sense of God. I believe every single one of us has this hole in our heart that only God can fill. But when we try to not fill it with God, that's when we chase these things over and over and over. But yet, that hole in our heart is only something he can fill. In fact, this whole concept of being made in the image of God, John Calvin, who's a pastor and theologian, he explains it this way. He says, man resembles him and that in him, God's glory is contemplated as in a mirror. When God looks at us, he sees his glory as in a mirror. When man is contemplated, when God thinks about us, God's glory is contemplated. We bear the resemblance of God. Just like when you see a child next to a parent and you say, oh, that looks just like you, you bear their resemblance. We bear the resemblance of God. Basically, we're a reflection of our Heavenly Father. So when you see someone or when you look at yourself, you are seeing who your Heavenly Father wants you to see, himself in you. But the problem is these words block the reflection, don't they? And we can't get past these words. And if you're anything like me, I have a tendency to chase these things, specifically chasing value. I have a tendency to chase value because I believe something is value. I believe value is something I have to earn. And so because of that, it impacts the way I dress, the way I carry myself, and the way I live. But value isn't something you need to chase, because value is not something you can earn. Value is something you already have because it's been given to you by God, because you've been made in the image of God. But when you'll go out and chase these things, or you try and chase value, well, what you're doing is you're ignoring that reality of what God says about you. You're ignoring also the realities of the gospel. Because you see, when Jesus came, when God sent Jesus, he sent us Jesus because we have so much value. And what had happened is sin had corrupted our perspective. Just like when we look in the mirror, we see just how bad we are and the sin we have. Sin had corrupted the world. And God sent Jesus to show us not just what God was like, but who God liked. And who did God like? Or who does God like? Everyone. Because everyone was made, is made in the image of God. This is why when Jesus came, he elevated man, woman, child, the marginalized, the broken, the left out by society, and he elevated them and said, everyone can be a part of the kingdom of God. Not just my chosen people, not just the Judeans and the Jews back then, not the nation of Israel, every single person, regardless of Jew or Gentile. And so when he did that, he made the ultimate declaration and said, this is how much value you have. I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to die for the sin that blocks my relationship with you that you see in the mirror. And when he did that, he died, proving that he could overcome sin and overcome our perspective with his perspective. And when he came back to life, he removed that so we no longer have to live that way in that shame and the guilt. We can live in freedom, knowing we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and God sees us as perfect and holy. That's what Jesus did for us. Talk about ascribing value to something, that you would be willing to give your life for that. And when we choose to follow him, you get his Holy Spirit in you, which fills that hole I mentioned. And yeah, I know. We know that, Raul, but when I still look in the mirror, I still see imperfections. And I know, we're not perfect. We mess up. But what Jesus is saying there is don't let that stop you from seeing the value God ascribes to you. The Apostle Paul, he wrote about this constantly because he was tired of people not believing this. In fact, in one of his letters to the church in Ephesus, he's reminding them how to stop doing this. And he starts with what we just talked about Jesus. Here's what he says. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth, this is the reality of the gospel, that the good news that Jesus came and died for us, so we don't have to see ourselves the same way. He says, you have learned the truth that comes from him. So throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Stop thinking that way. Stop listening to that negative self-talk. That's your old you. That's not the new you. And he describes what this old way was, which is corrupted by lust and deception. You know what lust is, right? Chasing something to fill you that only deceives you. That's what lust is. All of us chase that when we're telling ourselves these things. We think we need these things. And he's saying, don't do that. Here's what he says. Instead, do this. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That Spirit, God's Spirit living inside of you. He says, let it change the way you think. Make new your mind, the way you think about yourself, the way you see yourself. But how do we do, what does that mean? What do we do? He tells us. I love Paul. He's so practical. Put on your new nature, not the old you, not the old way that chases lust and deception in your life. No, put on your new nature. Here it is, created to be like God. He's reminding them you're made in his image, you're made in his likeness. And what's God like? This is huge, don't miss this. Truly righteous and holy. I'm sorry, Paul, did you just say I'm righteous and holy? That's exactly what he's reminding the church in Ephesus and reminding us today. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a sinner. He doesn't see you as a messed up, broken person. He sees you as righteous and holy. You are clean and clear before your Heavenly Father because of what Jesus says about you and didn't just say about you, did for you. And so this is one of many things Jesus says about you. I want to give you a whole list just to reinforce what we're talking about here. Here's what else Jesus says about you. Jesus says you are forgiven. He's saying you no longer have to live in shame and guilt. You are forgiven. Jesus says you are new. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Stop living in that old way. Start living in this new way. You are new. He says you are adopted. You're part of the family. You're not separate any longer. You are in the family. And you're not just in the family. You're also an heir to the throne like Jesus is. Isn't that crazy? He says next, he says you are valuable. You're not just a trophy on the shelf collecting dust. He has taken you, polished you, put you front and center, and told everybody, this is my masterpiece. This is my prized possession. He says you are chosen. We're going to talk more about this next week, but he chose you before the beginning of time. And the fact that you're listening to this, he wants you to hear what he is saying about you. You need to hear this is what he's saying. That's why you're hearing this, because you are chosen. He says you are loved. For God so loved you that he sent Jesus for you. And finally, you are worthy because you are made in the image of God. My encouragement to you would be take a picture of this and look up these verses this week just to sit in it and meditate on it and think about this is what God says about me. Because my hope would be that this would change the way you look at yourself in the mirror. When you think about yourself, you wouldn't see those things. You would see these things. It reminds me recently of a friend of mine named Billy. He was talking to one of his coworkers, and he was talking about how he said something in front of a crowd that he just was like, I can't believe I said that. And he looks at his coworker and he says, I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot. And she goes, stop. Don't say that about my friend. And he's like, oh, me. I guess she's saying I'm talking about me. She said, stop saying that about my friend. She didn't believe that about Billy, but Billy was saying that about himself. And she was trying to remind him, stop saying that because you're my friend. I'm not going to let you say that. Just like I tell my kids, you're not a mistake. You made a mistake. Don't say that about my friend. What if we did that? Like, what if we did that for ourselves? It's a little cheesy, but stick with me. If I were to say something stupid about myself, I just did it. If I was just about to say something about myself negative, instead you catch yourself and you say, don't say that about my friend Rahul. Rahul is new. Rahul is valuable. Don't say that about my friend. And you look in the mirror and you say, Dustin is a child of God made in his image. Don't say that about my friend. Mariana is someone who is loved and worthy. I know it's a little cheesy, but what if it works? What if it changes how you look at yourself? Because what you say about yourself now, that's not who's being reflected here. What's being reflected is right here. But what has happened is for many of us is we've forgotten who we are, haven't we? We've forgotten these things about us. And not just who we are, we've forgotten whose we are. We're made in the image of God, which means we are his. And because we've forgotten who we are, we end up being just like Simba in The Lion King. You see, if you remember what's going on, he's running from his calling. And all of a sudden, Nala shows up and says, you've got to come back. You're the king. And he's like, that's not who I am. And he runs away and he finds this crazy monkey named Rafiki. And the constant line in that scene is, you have forgotten who you are. Rafiki takes him to this area, and there's a pond there. And Rafiki says, I know who you are. Look here. Simba looks and he goes, that's just me. That's my reflection. Do you remember what Rafiki says next? Look harder. Stirs the water, and the reflection changes. And when the water settles, the reflection in the water is Mufasa, his father. That's what we should be doing. We should be looking harder in the mirror, looking through who we think we are and who we say we are, and looking to see a reflection of our Heavenly Father. So we remember who we are and remember whose we are. So when we walk over to this mirror and we feel forgiven, I mean, we feel shameful instead, we can say, no, I'm forgiven. When we feel broken, we can say, Jesus says, I'm a new creation. When we feel alone, Jesus says, we're adopted. When I feel inadequate, Jesus says, I am valuable. When I feel like a mistake, Jesus says, I am chosen. When you feel unloved, Jesus says, I am loved. And when you feel unworthy, remember, Jesus says, you are worthy. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. We can't forget who we are, because when we forget this, our self-talk becomes self-sabotage and we live the life we tell ourselves. And this self-fulfilling prophecy, you know how it is. It's so, so tough to get out on our own. So instead, look in the mirror and remember you are stronger than you think you are. You are smarter than you think you are. You are more beautiful than you think you are. Not because I say so. Not because you say so. But because Jesus says this about you. We need this. I need this. You need this. We all need this. This is so important, because when your self-perception aligns with how God sees you, well, then it unlocks clarity and courage, and it reduces your negative perspective of yourself, so that when you look in the mirror, you see yourself as God sees you, because God created you to be a reflection of himself. He created you in his image, in his likeness, to be like him, righteous and holy. So in light of what God says about you, what needs to change in your life? What do you need to stop saying about yourself? What do you need to start saying about yourself? And if you're a follower of Jesus in this room, you've got the Holy Spirit to help remind you of this. Lean into him. Let him, when you wake up and you walk into the mirror and see that reflection, let him remind you of who you are, so that you can walk in that freedom every single day. A freedom where you are forgiven. You're a new creation. You're adopted. You're valuable. You're chosen. You're loved and you're worthy. Now, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you can have this too. You've been trying to do it to yourself, but you need God to remind you of this, of what Jesus says about you every single day. And the only way to do that is by having that God-sized hole in your heart filled with his Spirit to remind you of that. And so I would love to invite you to that right now. In fact, I would love to, if you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus, that's how you can have this. And you'll receive his Spirit. And so to do that, I'd love to invite you to pray a prayer. The prayer isn't magical. It doesn't have amazing, incredible words by a pastor. That's not what it means. It's more about your heart posture. And are you willing to give your heart to Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus, so you can see yourself as these things? If so, I'm going to lead you through a prayer that talks about how you believe Jesus died and came back to life, and that you want to make him Lord and King over your heart and over your whole life. And if you believe that, that will happen. And so here's what I'd love to do. I'd love to invite everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you want to pray that prayer and have never prayed that prayer before and truly have that heart posture to surrender your life to Jesus, I would love for you to repeat these words after me out loud. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for you and for what you've told me today. I believe it and I receive it. I believe Jesus died for my sins and made a way for me. I believe he rose back to life. And I am forgiven, and I am free, and I am clean and clear with you. Now I can believe the things you say about me. I receive your Spirit so that I can live free every day. Thank you for sending Jesus. It's in his mighty name I pray. Amen. Okay, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to celebrate. We want to celebrate with you. So I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand to let us know that you just gave your life to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. 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 Man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are so good that you would say these things about us. So help us believe them. Because it doesn't matter what anybody else says about us. It doesn't matter what we say about us. It only matters what our Heavenly Father, our Creator, says about us. So every single day, let's remember that. Use your spirit to remind us of that. So when we look in the mirror and we see our reflection, we see you. We see a child who is free, who is forgiven, who is a new creation, who is adopted, who is valuable, who is chosen, who is loved, and who is worthy. Thank you for reminding us of that today. We need it every single day, and it's all because of what Jesus did. We're so grateful for him. Thank you for sending Jesus. It's in his mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen. So let's live this way, right? Don't let yourself talk right now. Whatever you're thinking about yourself, don't let it overtake you. Remind yourself you are a child of God. You're made in his image. And if you're one of those people who gave their life to Jesus just now, we want to walk with you. This is the beginning of your journey, not the end. And there's some next steps we want to give you. And so if you text HMFOLLOW to 94000, you'll receive a link that'll send you to a website. And that's HMFOLLOW to 94000. It'll show you how to connect with your Heavenly Father on a daily basis. It'll tell you also that your next step is baptism, where you get to declare publicly that you're a follower of Jesus. And it'll help you find community, because we need people to remind us of this every single day. So tell yourself this stuff, that you are loved, you are chosen. And also say, don't say that about my friend when someone else says they're stupid or an idiot, right? Let's be those people who change the perspective of everyone around us, because God changed it forever for each of us.